Coming up on podcast 1198, the legendary family car, the Opel Vauxhall Astra, is going to go pure electric and soon. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also today, the Hyundai Ioniq 5N version. We think we've seen it. That's going to be the hot version. Got some electric van news, and the pre-production Kia EV6 gets driven. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Wherever you are in the world, welcome to EV News Daily. Thursday, 2nd of September today. My name is Martin Lee. And you know the score. I see here I go through hundreds, thousands of articles to bring you only what I think you need to know. I know you're busy, and it's my job to save your time. Feeling a little bit better, still obviously voice not quite back to normal, but still feeling just like achy and run down. And it's nothing, you know, we're COVID testing every day because Fully Charged is this weekend, 3-day big outdoor EV festival. I'm speaking on stage on Friday, and so I wouldn't miss that for the world. So we're being uber super safe. So it is just a cold. I just feel terrible. Anyway, let's talk about the news. SK Innovation is investing $1 billion in a new battery factory in China. South Korea's SK Innovation, SKI, as I sometimes you'll hear me call it, said yesterday it will invest 1.2 trillion won. That is 1.04 billion US dollars in a brand spanking new battery factory in China. The South Korean battery maker supplies the likes of Ford and Volkswagen, although not for too much longer. Hyundai, among others. Battery production sites exist in the US, in Hungary, China, and South Korea. In July, according to this Reuters.com report, SK Innovation said it would increase, or its aim was to increase, their annual battery production capacity to 200 gigawatt hours every single year by 2025. A really big supplier of lithium-ion batteries for cars, and one of the South Korean companies that's been in a bit of a legal spat. And I think one of the reasons why VW made the announcement pretty suddenly, at least for those outside the company that weren't aware of the news coming, which is that they were do their own thing with European battery factories and partnerships with the Chinese as well. So, you know, they supply VW at the moment, but, you know, it won't be forever. But look, the SK Innovation technology, very, very good. And the cells are, you know, as good as they get. So if you've got an EV with their stuff in, top notch. Next, we'll talk about the pre-production version of a South Korean car, the Kia EV6. So when these two cars were announced, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 and the Kia EV6, the Hyundai was first, then it was the Kia. I must admit, from first impressions, it's the Kia looked, from the outside styling, like I was going to prefer it. But now I've kind of lived with those two cars. I'm really leaning towards preferring the Hyundai Ioniq 5. Those cars made their way to market already. The Project 45 cars, which is the special edition. So here, that's the glass roof, the sunroof, the electric rear seats, I know, and lots of other toys should be with their new owners today, I think, tomorrow, over the weekend. One of my listeners who lives in Dorset, won't say his name because I haven't checked that I'm allowed to, is expecting one and said, hey, you're welcome to come and, you know, have a look if you want. And we will on the podcast. We'll go and I don't think I can go with him for delivery day, but hey, it's been delayed a bit. So let's get him get his nice new car and then we can go around with the microphones. But the other car is the Kia EV6. And Jalopnik had a pre-production drive a while ago now. So maybe there was an embargo. They say the interior of the Kia is cool. They love the widescreen on the dash. Yeah, the screen on the Kia EV6 is curved around the driver. On the Hyundai Ioniq 5, it is completely flat along the dash. More so that the passenger, I think, can use the infotainment stuff. Kia seems more like a bit of a aimed at the driver, as it were. They say the shifter is a rotary dial with park at its vertex and R, N, and D. And again, it comes down to personal preference. The Hyundai Ioniq 5 has got it on the right-hand side on the steering column. It's a stalk, whereas the Kia has gone with the little turny, knobby, dial-y thing where your hand would rest, where a gear stick, I guess, would be. A power button sits elevated above the shifter. The wireless charging pad for your phone is located behind. There are two 12-volt power outlets on the lower deck, and the USB-Cs in the Kia, USB-As in the Hyundai. Why is it different? It's the same company. But anyway, so that might make a difference to you. Kia EV6's ride quality, said Jalopnik, was stiff, but this was a pre-production car. Reasonably quick, though in an EV without sounds or shifts, the sprint is a gradual affair, not a blow-your-brains-out affair. But there is a Kia EV6 GT coming next year. That's got 576 horsepower. So, not a sports car. But he says, I had a good time zipping around twisty streets in the countryside north of Frankfurt. What makes the car special is not its handling, not its power. It is the design. The outside is quirky and fun. The cabin is a cool place to be, said this journalist. Next, we'll talk about Opel / Vauxhall, as I would call it. Vauxhall, Europeans would call it Opel. Opel Vauxhall releasing the family staple, the Astra, a legendary name when you talk about family cars. Astra, Mondeo, Ford Focus, the Astra is going pure electric. Opel will offer the new Astra as a pure electric model, arrives in the marketplace in 2023. They've announced at their official presentation of the sixth generation of the Astra. So many people have owned an Astra. And there's been so many models of Astra as well, estate versions and GTE versions. Before the launch, as a pure battery electric car in 2023, there'll be plug-in hybrid versions of it coming next year. If you want them now, a battery version sooner, you can get the plug-in hybrid version next year. There's also the DS, which is the fancy pants bit of Citroën, the kind of quirky sort of very French bit of Citroën. DS, the DS4, and the Astra actually share the platform, the technical basis, the EMP2 platform. They're both built at Opel's Rüsselsheim plant. I got that massively wrong, by the way. Sorry, all German listeners. The existing models based on that platform are either like large vans and transporters like the Citroën eSpace Tourer, the Opel models Zafira eLife or the Vivaro E. The Astra will be available to order this autumn, and the plug-in hybrid versions delivered at the beginning of 2022. Five-door model or an estate version with the Astra Sports Tourer following. Pop a link to Electrive in the show notes for that full story if you want to read more. Next, we'll talk about Motor Fuels Group here in the UK. MFG own a bunch of forecourts. Until now, they've made money out of petrol diesel. They see an electric future. I find that fascinating. MFG has opened up their first forecourt with dedicated EV chargers in Stretford, Manchester. The site has 8 ultra-rapid chargers. I would say ultra-rapids are 350s, but maybe you'd say they're high-powered chargers, HPCs. But these are 8 150-kilowatt chargers in Manchester at their site. The CEO, William Bannister, said, and I quote, "We are delighted to be opening an EV-only forecourt that offers ultra-rapid charging on the Chester Road in Stretford, a first for the northwest of the country. With 8 ultra-rapid charging bays, we believe this site will help lead local transition to more sustainable EVs," end quote. Yeah, so we've got a few of these electric forecourts cropping up. There's one in Braintree with grid serve. That's massive. That's like 33 chargers, I think, and a ton of 12. I think they've got 12 or 14 350 kilowatt units there. But yeah, Motor Fuels Group are, again, a company that is based on selling you petrol and diesel and making a dedicated EV forecourt. This one in Manchester, which is great for the Northwest, rather than adding on the odd charger on their petrol station forecourts. Really, really interesting move. I would like to have them on this podcast to talk about how a forecourt network, a petrol company, effectively, they were a petrol retailer, is going to move to EV. So maybe I'll reach out to them. This move forms part of their plans to spend £400 million on EV chargers. Coming soon, we'll talk about the Hyundai Ioniq 5, the N version, the rapid version being spotted, and some electric van stuff coming up as well. Stick around, that's on the way. Now, we'll talk about Cox Automotive acquiring a battery health company. Cox Automotive is getting into the EV space and the EV battery life cycle space. The company said yesterday it had acquired Oklahoma City-based Spires New Technologies. That's a business that provides repair, manufacturing, refurb, and repurposing of EV battery packs. According to TechCrunch, the EVs that they want to have a different service profile than fossil cars, and it comes down to the battery. That can be up to 40% of a vehicle's cost. Now, Cox Automotive saying they're going to use diagnostic tools with EV buyers and used car EV buyers to push confidence in EVs, likening it to the way that Kelley Blue Book provides transparency about piston cars conditioned to consumers, but doing that for EVs. Really, really interesting. There's another company that does that. What are they called? Recurrent? I'll dig into that. But yeah, it's an interesting space, isn't it? Like giving that confidence to used car EV buyers that, you know, do I buy a used EV that's on 20,000 miles? Like what condition is the battery in? Now, if it were me, I would turn up with an OBD2 dongle and some software on my phone. I'd be plugging it in and looking at all of the data, but no one else is going to do that. Really, you want to get like a report, a printout, a PDF that says what condition the battery's in, how many modules, state of health, etc., etc. That is going to be a really interesting area as we move into more EVs being sold used, isn't it? Like people are going to want confidence in buying a used EV. Fascinating, right? Next, Hyundai's IONIQ 5, the N version. We think we've seen it because spy photographers snapped a few shots of an IONIQ 5 driving around with large brake discs, sporty, lightweight rims, looking like nothing like any of the rims on the production cars, sticky Pirelli P0 tyres. And we think this is probably a hot version of the IONIQ 5 to match the Kia EV6 GT performance car, that sort of 3.5 second 0 to 60. We think that is the Hyundai version of the, they're going to call it the IONIQ N or 5N, I think. More on that as we get those stories. But that, I mean, that if that's like 3.5 seconds, all wheel to 0 to 60 miles an hour, 0 to 100 kilometers an hour, all wheel drive, 800 volt system, charges at 230 kilowatts. I mean, that is a compelling car, right? If you want performance and absolutely latest cutting edge technology. Citroën, let's do van stuff. Yeah, let's talk vans. Citroën in the UK open their order books for the eBerlingo. All new, all electric. The eBerlingo is panel van with two body lengths, crew van as well. Starts at £24,000. The eBerlingo has, here we go. You know I'm going to say it's that famous. Every time I talk about any commercial vehicle from this group, it's all the same. So, are you ready? 50 kilowatt hour battery, 100 kilowatt motor, and 100 kilowatt charge speed. Now, some of these vans do come with a 75 kilowatt hour battery, so I'm cheating a bit. But they all have the same specs. It's the same platform. It's really solid. It's not going to win any awards, but it's, I think, so what is needed to get commercial vehicles out in numbers. 171 miles of range. Peugeot are next in the news. Peugeot opening their doors to the new e-Partner, 100% electric, 4.4 meters long, or 4.8 for the extended version. It's identical load volume to the petrol version or diesel version of the Partner van because the battery's under the floor. Loads of load space, panel van again, and a payload of 803 kilograms or on the standard length version. Great for fleets, exactly the same specs on that. Vauxhall, let's talk Vauxhall Opel, the Vauxhall Combo E and the Movano E making their global debut. Why am I talking about all these cars? Well, there's a commercial van show in the UK right now, so they're all getting released. Images of the all-new Vauxhall Movano E and the Combo E have made their global debuts. The commercial vehicle show is at Birmingham's NEC. The all-new Movano E is their first light commercial vehicle. So think of a, you know, Ford Transit competitor, if you don't know what I'm talking about. Class-leading space, they say, 17 cubic meters. And again, that 100 and, well, this one has 130 miles of range. Stellantis announcing a £100 million investment in the Ellesmere Port manufacturing plant in the UK to bring those commercial vehicles to the market. So a ton of Really solid fleet stuff, all around 150, 170 miles, reasonably fast charging, and in just a ton of like panel van, crew van, like every possible combination. There's so many on the market, and I can't explain to my, you know, US listeners, my Australian listeners, that we are really, really, really spoiled for choice. Okay, so Teslas are expensive to buy, but we've got so many vehicles coming to market this year and next year, which, you know, Europe is getting, and I just, you know, I wish these vehicles were global vehicles worldwide, because it's what's needed, more choice. And there's so much happening. It's why I love making a global podcast rather than focusing on, you know, one manufacturer or one territory. Question of the week time right now with emobilitynorway.com. As cars like the Ioniq 5 and the Ford F-150 Lightning arrive, being able to draw power from their traction battery in reasonable amounts with plug sockets on domestic plug sockets, we're going to be plugging more and more things into our cars, possibly even using our cars to charge other cars. So what will you power from your EVs in the future? Email me and I'll read it out on Sunday. The address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. As always, it means a huge amount to everyone who puts their hand in the pocket and pays for this show to get on the air. And you don't have to, by the way. If you want to just listen to the ads and support the show that way, you can. If you want to join up at Patreon, you can. No pressure. It really, really helps me. Patreon is patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. Every penny of that money goes into making this podcast happen. I don't draw a salary from Patreon, so anything we get is invested into making the show better and bigger, a bit of marketing of it as well. And hopefully, maybe one day, I can find somebody to help me out and maybe do a bit of writing, do a bit of editing and stuff. And, you know, it's 7 days a week. But hey, that's down the line if we ever make enough money and grow it into a little production thing. So our premium partners are Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley and his brilliant EV Review Ireland YouTube channel. Looking forward to seeing Derek at Fully Charged this weekend. Richard at rsev.co.uk. They're also going to be at Fully Charged this weekend, and emobilitynorway.com. I don't think Jan is flying into the country for Fully Charged. Have a good night tomorrow. And, hey, do remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.